trumpet in Zion. Sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in Zion.
Hey everybody, this is Brother Frank, and welcome to another episode of the Remnant Call. I'm glad to be here with you tonight. I've got, of course, Brother Benjamin back on, but I want to share a little story as we get into the program this evening. In 1999, and if you all have never heard my conversion story, I was strung out on meth, a chronic adulterer, very violent with other men, especially. I was just so messed up on everything that I'd lied so much that I actually began to believe my own lies. And a man named Jim had the courage to reach out to me and share the good news. But I remember specifically, he was telling me about this book I needed to read by a guy that he had went on a missionary trip with. I don't remember if it was Honduras. We'll ask Brother Benjamin here in a minute. But he said, he gave me a Bible study like I had never had before. And so it was, of course, Brother Benjamin, and he shared with me the day of the Lord is at hand. And so as we were coming home and we were talking about, before he handed me the book and he was bringing up the question about, you know, God and all that. And I said, look, Jim, you know, I can tell you one thing, that a man can't live the way I'm living and expect to be justified. And that's when Jim said, you got to read this book. And I'm like 330 some or 60. I don't remember how many pages. I was like, I barely read a few books in high school. I'm like, what am I going to read this thing for? Well, you know what? I made the mistake, which was the best mistake of my life. I opened it up and it ended up leading me to the Lord. And the Lord used that book, The Day of the Lord is at Hand. And I left in 1999. In March, I left my house. I'd been reading this book one morning, strung out on meth, everything you could imagine wrong. My wife was leaving. Everything was over. I had no idea how to get saved or anything about it. And on the way home that day, I met the Lord on the way home outside of a church, and I surrendered myself to the Lord. I got delivered and I got saved without man, without a pastor, without anybody, just me and the Spirit of the living God together. Folks, I don't care who you are, where you've been, or how bad off you think somebody is. Don't you ever think for a moment anyone can be beyond the redemption of the Almighty God, because I'm living proof. And with that, I want to bring in Benjamin to the program. Benjamin, are you here with me?
Hey, good afternoon, Frank.
Brother, it wasn't too long. I reached out to you. Jim and I came down to meet you, and you were on the Prophecy Club tour. Which I could tell folks, listen, they couldn't even contain Benjamin, but they didn't even know what to do with him. They had never seen anybody that fired up for the Lord in their life. But brother, we met and we've been friends ever since. And I just thank God for Jim and for you, and especially because, folks, Jim's got about a week to live. He's 86 years old, but this is Jim's time. It's time. This is his time, and it's okay. And I've just been honored. I was over seeing him the other day, and I'll just never can say thank you enough to Jim and his family and for Brother Benjamin for writing that book through God's leading, or I wouldn't be here. I'd be dead today. There's no doubt in my mind. Everybody knew me knows I would be dead by now had it not have been for a few people with the courage to offer me another way in life. So, brother, it's going to be a powerful reunion when we get to the kingdom together. All of us.
Amen.
So, brother, I was wondering, could you open us up with a word of prayer? I would just really appreciate that.
Oh, amen. Absolutely. Oh, Father, we come with thanksgiving. Lord, we come with praise and glory and honor for your name. We lift up our brother Jim.
Amen.
Lord, receive him into your arms.
Amen.
Our brother's going home to the kingdom. And, you know, men don't consider the righteous are taken out before the day of evil begins. And I thank you, Lord, that Jim ran his race with faith. And Lord, he never stopped trying to awaken the nation. to the truth of your judgment that would soon come. Behold, it's even here now. But we lift up our brother Jim. We pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would come upon him. Whatever pain he's bearing in his body would be relieved.
Amen.
Lord, that your joy would be his strength. Lord, that he could hear with his ears the chorus in heaven, singing praises before the throne of the
Amen.
Lamb, before the throne of Almighty God. Lord, that he would be welcomed into the kingdom. And Lord, we're thankful for every single one of your children that have been so obedient to fight the good fight, to labor through all of these years. And Jim was a laborer for the
Amen.
word of God. And so we thank you for our brother. We bless him this night. And I ask the listeners that are listening to this, that would you remember Jim in your prayers today?
Amen.
Lift him
Thank you.
up. That
Thank you.
His family would be comforted, that he would be gathered into the everlasting arms of our Father in heaven.
Amen.
And we will all see him soon enough.
Amen.
Thank you for that truth, Lord, that all of us, we're all safe in your arms. So we bless you this day. Bring forth a word, Lord, for this hour, for your people, by your power, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Folks, thank you, brother. I want to share one last little thing about Jim. Jim was heavily persecuted for sharing Benjamin's stuff. It went against the church he attended. It went against different things and stuff. But that never stopped Jim. It never, like, he was not going to be dissuaded. And brother, I remember when you did that message. Oh man, I don't know if I could find it somewhere on tape. If I had one copy left in that church years ago, somewhere, I think in Ohio or somewhere, with that brother in the fire engine dream, that carried the cross down the interstate, if you remember him. But that was one of the most powerful messages Benjamin's ever given, and almost nobody will ever hardly hear it. I heard it. And, he made copies of that, took all those tapes. It was like four tapes. That was a lot of work back in the day. And he made copies of those, and through a guy down in this little town, helped him out. And man, he just gave them out. He was relentless. So praise the Lord. Anyways, I just wanted to share that. He didn't care about his popularity. He was more worried about the kingdom.
What message was that, Frank?
That was the one where you remember the guy that he had that vision of the fire engine and the white church.
No.
And you all were in a small church out in Ohio somewhere. That pastor had you, and remember, you told about everybody that wanted, you know, with their sunroofs open on their BMW, thinking they were going to just fly out of here. That they ought to close their sunroofs. They're going to be here for a while. I'll never forget. It's one of the best lines ever. But I'll try to find it. I can't remember the guy's name. My dad actually met the man after you all had him, and. Or we're with him there, but you don't remember that?
No, sorry. There's been a lot of...
Brother, that message was so powerful and so intense. I don't even know, probably tape players can barely even handle playing that thing. It just was on. You were on fire. Wow. And you know what? You haven't changed. I've noticed that in 20-some years I've known you.
Thank the Lord for that. I mean,
amen.
I sure hope I've changed. There's a
amen.
Lot of edges that need to be chipped away by the Lord's careful hands with his chisel and his sledgehammer, or burned in the fire with the purifying fires of his love for his people. And, you know, praise God. Lord, bring forth a word for this hour. And what a time we're in.
Mm.
And, you know, today was just the last few days, the warfare has just been ramped up. And, I'm just looking forward to seeing what comes forth today. I'm just going to look to the Lord for even, you know, how to bring this forth, because I'm exhausted. My strength has been spent. You know, I've been poured out like water. And Lord, we just give this to you. They're your people, Lord. They've come to hear from you, not from me. Lord, I could speak to them for you, but it's always so much better when it's by your Spirit, Lord. What comes forth from your throne, no man can touch. You're the great shepherd.
Amen.
You are the King of Kings, Lord.
Yes.
You are the Almighty One. So we all need to hear from you. I need to hear from you today as well. So, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would bring forth a word of truth, of encouragement, a word of faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, there's obviously every week between programs or two, it's like the world's changed dramatically.
It's going fast. It's going fast, Frank. We're accelerating. We're rushing towards the beginning of the 70th Jubilee. And yeah, if you think you've seen changes at this point, they're going to explode. And hallelujah. Okay, I want to start out with just some encouragement. You know, this is from Isaiah 40. Those of you guys that want to read along, we're going to start with verse 9. And behold your God, O Israel, O Zion, that bringest good tidings. Get up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem, that bringeth forth a good report. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. His reward is with him, and his work is before him. And that word for strong hand, the word strong, I thought, oh, that's got to be Gabor, you know, the mighty ones with mighty power. No, it's the word Chazak, and it means strong in a bold and violent sense, harder, hotter, louder, and mightier than ever before. God's coming forth with judgment, and his arm shall rule. And that word is Mashal, and his arm will have dominion as a governor, will reign and will bear power and will rule the earth. You know, the enemy wanted to convince everybody that the day of the Lord was going to be his hour to rule. He's running in fear, for he knows his time is short, and the Lord is coming in visitation, and the devils are going to flee into the darkness. They won't even stay in the presence when the mighty one comes. Praise God. The same God that can lift the mountains with the palm of his hand, we're told he'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He's coming in judgment upon the earth, but he's coming to his remnant as a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. And he's going to gently lead those that are with young children. You know, how awesome is that? God coming in judgment upon the earth, and yet he's still the good shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. They're counted as less than the dust on the balances of his scales of judgment. Lebanon is not even sufficient for burning, nor the beast thereof for a burnt offering. All of the nations before him are as nothing. They're counted to him as less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken our God? And who will you compare him to? And the Lord is coming in visitation this 70th Jubilee year. He's coming to visit his people. He's coming to judge the earth. The judgment of God is upon us. And just break for a little bit of news. I received a phone call just the other day from a friend whose son is an officer, a lieutenant in a regional police department in one of the suburbs of Phoenix, Arizona. And he called his father and told him that all of the police departments in all of the cities around Phoenix have all coordinated together, and they're now working with Phoenix PD in a one concerted effort, and they're doing a number of things. One, they're setting up radio communications so they can all talk to each other. They're going to be working together as in a single response. Second, they're upgrading all of their riot gear basically to a higher level of body armor. Third, they're changing their weapons and they're upgrading to military style weapons. And they're expecting essentially the equivalent of a war in the city. And they were The leadership was also debating, how much should we tell the rank and file officers? But they did tell them to purchase plywood, enough plywood, have it at your house so that you can board up the windows of your homes when the chaos begins. And you're to attach the plywood to the inside of the house, not on the outside of the windows, because the criminals and the rioters will be able to pry that off with whatever devices. Rather, nail or attach the plywood covering over all your windows from the inside of the house. So, our governments know that extremely difficult days lie ahead of us this summer, and they are preparing. And so we too should prepare. But for us, our preparation is in the spirit. Our preparation is to cleanse our hearts and to find the straight and the narrow way into the secret hiding place of the Most High God. For in that place, there will be deliverance. And it doesn't matter what's happening in your city. It doesn't matter what's in your house in the terms of provisions. It doesn't matter whether you have gold or whether you have nothing. Deliverance is by the Lord and Him alone. And when the Lord gives commandment to save you, you will be saved. And if the Lord does not give the commandment to His angelic army to deliver you, it doesn't matter what you've prepared. It'll be utterly useless in the day of God's judgment. And so this is, looks like it's really coming, folks. And it looks like it's really coming this year. Of course, we saw the events in Israel bombing the residence of the Iranian ambassador next to the Iranian embassy. And that was actually Iranian sovereign soil. And so in a sense, an overt act of war has occurred. War is coming. The spokesman for the Kremlin today said, "We acknowledge that we are at war with NATO." Yesterday, Putin said, "Well, I hope we can avoid a nuclear war." Right. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he believes that. We're seeing propaganda on every side, and don't trust the men in this hour. Learn to hear from the Lord. Get into your prayer closets. Make your prayer time first, the first priority in your day. And dedicate the time necessary to enter the presence of God. And I've got some really, really beautiful things to share. And the first of which was, maybe it was 2 days ago, I was in prayer and I just said, "Lord, would you give me a word for the people, a word for today?" And I actually opened my Hebrew dictionary to the word na'ah in Hebrew, which is, this is in your Strong's, it's the Hebrew word number 4998. And it actually means beautiful, to be comely, to be lovely, to be desirable. And this word appears in scripture in only three places. It's the reference in the scripture in Isaiah 52, verse 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news, who publish peace and bring good news of happiness and publishing salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." The enemy doesn't reign. The nations are not going to rule in this hour. Our God reigns over the earth, and this is His great and mighty day that is about to begin. And He will be in complete control of everything. And this word for beauty is also used to describe the beauty of God's holiness within His living temple. And we who are of the remnant, we are the living stones, the beauty of God's holiness in our lives. Brothers and sisters, that's the standard of the remnant. Holiness, God's holiness. And the text I would cite is Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 10. "Thy cheeks are beautiful with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold." This is Solomon speaking prophetically of the remnant of God at the end of the age, who are the first fruit offering, who enter into the fullness of the redemption of God. This door is open to all who will repent. We just have to cleanse our hands, and we need to have our feet washed, and we need to put away the unclean thing, and we need to take our thoughts captive. We need to train our hearts to seek the presence of God and to walk ever before Him, aware that we are in His presence, and we can become the beautified living stones of the living temple. Hallelujah. And it's the beauty of His bride, the beauty of His holiness in His living temple, and the beauty of those who bear His living word. Thy testimonies are sure, O Lord. They're very sure. Holiness becomes thy house, O Lord, forever. Psalm 93, verse 5. And of course, Isaiah 52, 7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who are going to bring good news, publishing peace in a time of war, bringing a good report in a time of evil and fear upon the earth, and declaring the salvation and deliverance of our God unto Zion, declaring that our God reigns. Hallelujah. The Lord sees His remnant is beautiful. You know, that Rachel was described as beautiful, she being a type of the remnant desired by God. David as well, when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons, and of course, Jesse didn't even think to call David. And Samuel went and said, none of these seven are the one that is chosen. And so they sent for King David. And it says he was ruddy and he had a beautiful countenance. He was goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so the name David means beloved one. And that's the name of the remnant. These are his beloved ones. These are the ones who put God first. These are the ones who made a sacrifice of their own lives, willing to lose everything to gain the Lord's blessing and favor, willing to exchange their lives with God that we might have His life within us. Because you can't hail from two camps. You cannot stay in Babylon and enter the holy places of Zion. You can't be in two places at the same time. You can pretend that you're on the path to Zion, and you can hide the idols of Babylon in your tent and pretend that you don't have false gods in your life, but the truth will find you out. You know, so the multitudes were headed for the valley of decision. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose this day what sacrifice you will make. Are we going to sacrifice to these dead gods of the Americans? Going to continue to worship the Nephilim? Worship all of this wickedness by setting our hearts upon it, by letting it defile our eyes, letting it defile our ears? Are we going to listen to the words of death, doubt, and unbelief? Are we going to receive the things that are literally of the devil? Or are we going to turn away from this? Are we going to set our hearts toward and our eyes towards Zion? We're going to repent of all of the things of Babylon that have defiled the nation and defiled all of us in different degrees. You touch the unclean thing, you become unclean. You need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But that cleansing is available if we will just repent from the bottom of our hearts. The Lord is faithful and just to forgive us for every iniquity, and He will subdue those iniquities. And we too can then enter the straight and the narrow way, which is the way of absolute truth. Psalm 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And that's what's coming. The day of God's power is coming. And in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, for thou hast the dew of thy youth. And The remnant are going to have their youth restored. They're going to have their health restored. They're going to have their strength restored. And God's going to add beauty and holiness to their souls. It's going to be wonderful in the wilderness of Zion. All of the people in one accord, all of the people serving and honoring the living God. And there shall be a highway there. This is Isaiah 35, 8. And it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean will not be allowed to walk upon it. It shall be only for those who are the wayfaring men who've been called in the second Exodus. And fools will not err therein. Fools are not coming with us. The unclean are not coming with us. The compromised are not coming with us. Those who rely on the lie and deception to hide their sin, they are not coming with us. The remnant is going to walk on the highway of holiness. That's the straight and the narrow gate. It's the way of absolute truth. And look, we live in a nation of lies. We live among a people who've learned to lie and call the lies the truth. But therein lies the reason for their death, because they do not love the truth. You know, I was praying about someone close to me that is very much deceived by lies. And I was asking the Lord, you know, why? And he spoke to me and he said, not all men have received the love of the truth. We need to test our hearts. Do we love the truth enough to let go of everything else? Buy the truth and sell it not. Hold it in your heart, for therein is the way of deliverance. And then I have another word for you. Diligently listen. It's incumbent upon all true seekers who seek the path to the city of the Holy One that they would diligently hear the instructions of the Lord. And it will come to pass if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that he's commanding you. Then the Lord will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And that's exactly what he's about to do with the remnant. They're the handful of corn lifted up on the top of the mountains, even as the high priest lifts up a handful of corn in the temple on the day of the first fruit celebration. It's a type and a shadow of this handful of pure corn. These are the first ripe figs that Jeremiah saw. And he said, they're good. They're very good. And they're the first ripened corn, the first ripened figs, being the first fruit of salvation unto the Lord. And so they will be lifted up above the nations who are now going to come under the judgment of Almighty God. And the remnant will be set on high above the nations and above the chaos and above the fear. And on the mountains of Zion, the remnant will wait. And thus they will be at peace, and no one will make them afraid, and no one will touch the remnant. The Lord himself will be your defense. Hallelujah. That word for diligently, it's the word shema, to diligently hearken. It means to hear intelligently. So you need to listen and think about what the Lord is saying. Listen with attention. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. You know, go back and study the Word of God. Write it down. Put notes on your refrigerator. Put a note on the mirror in your bathroom in the morning. Write it on your hand. Put it on your computer, that you would not forget the instructions of your God. Hear with attention and obedience and action. Listen intelligently, pay attention, then move in obedience and take action, and move and listen carefully with discernment. Perceive and understand what God is saying, and then publish and share the report. Understand and hear, become a witness of the truth. That's the full definition of the word Shema. We would be advised to do every one of those attributes of this word diligently Hearken. Diligently listen. That word diligently by itself is me'od, and it means with vehemence, vehemently, with strong feelings of passion. Do this with all of your might, forcefully, with all intensity, wholly and speedily, exceedingly fast, with great effort, louder and louder, even mightier effort, with very much effort, and do very good and very well in executing the word of the Lord. For what nation is so great who has a God so near unto them as us, as the Lord our God is in these things at this time? When we call upon him, he answers us. And what people is so great that has the righteous word of our God, which he has declared to all of us? Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which you've heard, and you forget the things that you've seen that the Lord has already done for you, and you depart from the way of life. Rather, you teach your children, your sons and your daughters, of all things you've heard from the Lord, even from the day that we stood before the Lord our God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will cause them to hear my word, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, that they may teach their children and their children's children. As you came near unto me and stood under the mountain, when the mountain burned with fire, unto the very midst of heaven, and with darkness and clouds and thick darkness upon the earth, so the Lord spoke unto Israel out of the midst of the fire. Brothers and sisters, it's not just one mountain that's going to burn this time. All of the mountains are burning. All of the cities will be burning. I've got a neighbor who's a pastor, and we've started to just get together once a week to share the scripture and to pray. And this last week, he told me, he'd never shared this previously, that in 1996, about the same time that I was translated into the future, he too was translated in the future. Only he went to the cities that were on fire, and he was there. He said everything was burning. Even there were people that were burning and running, and people were running in sheer terror. He'd never seen anything like it. And when he was taken back into his bed, this was in the middle of the night, he literally fell out of the bed on the floor, and his wife thought he'd had a heart attack, and he was weeping and sobbing. And he saw the fire that's coming. God's coming with fierce fire. He's going to burn these nations. He's going to burn these cities. He's going to burn this nation. Only a remnant will be saved. Now, his Laodicean church will be cleansed through the fire, but listen, there's a better way to go, all right? There's a better way. It's called repentance, fasting, and prayer. But this fire is coming, and the Lord will be speaking to us out of the midst of that fire as well. Hallelujah. So I got another word. This was a couple of days ago. I had plans to finish preparing my orchard. You know, you have to cut off the dead branches. You have to prune the trees. And, you know, any branches that are dead or diseased, you have to cut them off and you have to burn them in the fire. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, I really should pray and ask the Lord, you know, perhaps the Lord has another assignment for me. And I should ask God, you know, should I do this today, or is there some other, something else that, Lord, you would prefer me to do? And so I prayed, and you know, I waited on God, and then I heard clearly, clear as day, I heard the Lord say, bear the burden of fruitless trees and till the ground that is about to be burned. And at first, I just didn't know what to think. I thought, well, are my trees going to be fruitless? Is God telling me I'm wasting my time bearing the burden of these fruitless trees and tilling ground that is soon to be burned. That word is about to be, that phrase actually means something that is going to happen relatively quickly. Okay, this is not far off. This is very near. The ground is going to burn underneath our feet, brothers and sisters, if we stay here in Babylon. It took me a day, and I began to get the revelation. No, that Lord wasn't talking about my trees. He was talking about the fruitless trees. And those are people. The trees are a metaphor in scripture of people. He was saying to bear the burden of the people that are fruitless. These are the people that are not walking in the Holy Spirit. Maybe they're in your family, maybe they're, at your churches, they're at your workplace, they're in your life in varying degrees, and they are a burden because they persecute you, they oppose you, they resist you. And the Lord said, bear the burden. This is part of the ministry, is that we're going to be opposed. Everyone will walk with slanderers in this hour. And, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And this is a burden. They're lashing out because they're being animated by the spirit of darkness. They're not walking in the Holy Spirit. They're not bearing the fruit of God. They don't have a living word. They're not bearing fruit unto eternity. They're bearing the fruit of death. These are trees that are already dead. And if they don't repent, they too will be cut down and burned in the fire. And the phrase, till the ground, work the ground, even though it's about to be burned. Well, Adam was given the assignment by God to till the earth. The earth was made for Adam, and Adam was made to till the earth. And we as believers, we've been made to till the ground, to break the fallow ground, to break the hardened ground. We're working to sow seeds of life into hard hearts. And so we are to continue to do our ministry, till the ground, keep doing what you're doing. God's called you to be a witness in certain ways, then you continue on. That was his word to me. Continue to work in the ministry that I've given you until the ground itself is burned. And so I guess we're just going to keep going until the fire comes. And, it's pretty intense. The scripture in John 6, verse 27 says, do not labor for the food that perishes. Don't till, we're not tilling the ground for the things of this age, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, because the Father has set his seal on him. For one of the keys of this kingdom is Psalm 51, verse 6. Behold, the Lord desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part of our hearts, he will make us to know wisdom. So it's really a time for us to search our hearts, ask God to search your heart,
Amen.
that we could bring into the light if there be anything of darkness in us. Because the time is coming where we want to be the people that the enemy has nothing in. Hallelujah. And I want to share just a little bit from Isaiah rather, chapter 2, verse 2. This is about the mountain of the Lord. It'll come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established in the top of the mountains. And that's where he's going to lift up his remnant. That's where he will lift up his anointed ones. And that word for last days is Acharaith. And it literally means the end, in the future, a posterity in the latter days. So, here we are, knocking on the door. Verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that has lifted themselves up, and they shall be brought low. And that word for brought low is shafel, and it means to be depressed, to sink, especially to be humiliated. Everyone that is proud will be humiliated in what's coming. Everyone who thinks they're something when they, in fact, are nothing, will be humiliated. They'll be abased. They'll be brought down. They will be humbled. And so the people will go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. And that word for terribly shake is aratz, and it means dreadful fear, to be terrified, to become completely afraid, to shake terribly. The Lord is about to shake the earth. Such has never been. And fear will come upon people of this world, such has never been known before. Men's hearts will be failing them from fear. Hallelujah. The glory of His Majesty. That word for glorious, hadar, it means the magnificence. For the glory of the Lord's majesty, the magnificence of God's majesty, His beauty, His excellency, His glory, and His honor, God's going to reveal in His remnant. And that word for majesty, it literally means the excellency of a sovereign power, the authority and the dignity of the reigning sovereign, the greatness and the beauty of the character of Almighty God. This is going to come forth. He's going to shower this on His remnant. And yet, upon the people of this ruined age, He says, I'll give children to be their princes, and babies will rule over them. The Lord will give babies to rule over the people. This is amazing. That word in Hebrew is ta'a'ul, and it means the vexation of a tyrant. A baby just throws a fit if it doesn't get its way. Well, this is talking about leaders that are tyrants, that are under delusion, who will maltreat and impose pain and mock and act with tyranny to those under their rule. And is that not what's happening today? Are not all the governments of the so-called free democracies
I was going to
becoming
say,
tyrannical?
that's our president. I think you're talking about there.
Well, how about the lunatic to the north? Or how about
Yeah,
the
yes.
clowns to the east of us and over in the European continent?
Yep.
They're completely out of control. The vexation. I will give tyrants to rule over them, and children will be their leaders. And this is Isaiah 3, verse 5. And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another. That's the burden. Bear the burden of these fruitless trees, these people that are twice dead. And the surprising thing, my friends, most of them call themselves Christians. Well, yeah, they do. A lot of them are even watchmen or whatever. They got all kinds of names. They love their titles. They do not love the Lord, though. And they're actually not born again. These are the believers on the wide road that Jesus spoke of when he said, many will seek to enter the kingdom by a wide road. For wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that try to enter therein. You guys know the word many is polis, and it means the vast majority of people who think they're Christians today are actually walking down the wide road to destruction. And Jesus told us, strive to enter by the narrow gate, for straight is the way, and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Just a little flock. The thing that's interesting is the many who are on the road to destruction, they're the goats who are going to perish in the judgment, but they are all convinced that they are sheep. And if you even suggest to them that that might not be the case, they will turn and dash you to pieces. Whereas the sheep, every one of them has had a dark night of the soul where they feared they might be a goat. And so, if you're one of those people that's afraid that maybe you're not saved, well, you know what? The scripture says to work, to strive to make your election sure. For your spirit should confirm and bear witness with the Holy Spirit that you indeed are born again and you belong to Him. And that's essentially the difference is the people on the wide road who will be oppressing everyone, each other, they're not born again. It's the old Adamic nature with a little pharisaical religion thrown on top. And you can pick whatever of the 7,000 false churches of Babylon, join any one of them, you still end up in hell if you haven't repented from every wicked way. Everyone will be oppressed by his neighbor. And that word for neighbor means a close associate, a brother, your companion, your friends, your husband, your wife, your lover, your neighbor, any other. The people will be oppressed. Everyone. That's all of them. Brothers and sisters, we're all subject to this. That's why the Lord said, bear the burden of the fruitless trees, bear the burden of these oppressors. But you know what? You don't have to stay in their presence. That's why Jesus said, go into your prayer closet, shut the door, don't go out among them anymore, because they'll try to put their bands on you. That's what he told Ezekiel. Now, they weren't actually putting handcuffs or ropes on Ezekiel. It was the word curses. It was the words they tried to yoke him with. God said, I don't want you to have any part of this. So separate yourself. You want to go no contact with those people that are toxic in your life. And be at peace with as many men as you can, but don't continue to open the door to this oppression and don't receive their words. Just politely say, sorry you feel that way, but I don't receive that. Go on from there. But everyone is going to be facing this kind of oppression. And it's getting worse because look, there's mind control technology. There's been these medical treatments that we now know are also altering the brains of people. We've got all of this insanity around us. And the people who are not of the Lord, they're being changed. Transformations that are too hard for them to find, but they're becoming different people. These are the people that will soon follow the beast. And who knows? Perhaps they think they're following the Lord. Perhaps they'll think the Antichrist is the Messiah. Who knows what's going to happen with these lost souls? But I can tell you one thing, they are dangerous. They will behave themselves proudly against the elders, and the base will come against the honorable. So this is going to happen. It's already happening. And the show of their countenance witnesses against them. If you look at their face, it's not a face of peace. Their countenance testifies against them. It declares their sin as Sodom. They cannot hide it. Woe unto their soul, for they've rewarded evil unto themselves by their behavior. And that word for reward is gamal, and it literally means to give to a person the fruit of their own ways, the fruit that is now ripened, to bestow upon them the recompense that they are due. And so these people that have literally been so oppressive and so, literally toxic, evil, ra'ah in Hebrew. This is all going to be poured back upon them shortly. For the Lord stands up to plead, and he stands to judge the people. He's coming in visitation during the 70th Jubilee. And you guys, if you have never heard the message, the visit, and it's in two parts, or if you did hear it years ago, back in like, I don't know, it was in 2019, I think we did that. Frank, that message, I listened to the first part today. Haven't heard it in years. It blew me away. If you've never heard the visit, you got to go hear it and give it to your friends that don't understand that America is who America is. That message clarifies it
Yes,
thoroughly.
yes.
Because a lot of people, they can't see it yet. Even though it's right here. But the Lord stands up. He stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people, the elders. Okay, look, judgment begins in the household of God. We know that. Before, and if the righteous are scarcely saved, we barely got saved by his grace. Where do the sinner and ungodly appear? He stands to judge his people. He first judges the ancients or the elders among his people and the princes, the leaders. They're judged first. And that judgment's been happening to the leaders, I can assure you. And you know what? And thank God when he comes in judgment in our lives, because the Lord's judging us in order to cleanse us, in order to teach us, in order to correct us. And all things that God does in our life work together for our good and our blessing, even when it's extremely painful to endure, even when it's a real fire and it actually burns you It's still for your blessing that we could turn from every wicked way and embrace the holiness of God. Because, you know, you guys, things are more complicated than oftentimes we understand, particularly in our own soul, because we can have memories, you know, we can have, if you will, memories that are in our soul, buried long ago, where, you know, maybe you got hurt bad, even. Maybe there's trauma. Maybe there was betrayal. Maybe there was violent abuse. I mean, there was serious pain. And in that pain, those are the dark places of our souls. And to survive those times, one of the defense mechanisms that God gave humanity is an ability to disassociate from the pain. You cannot remember the pain. It's impossible. And sometimes if the memory itself is too traumatic, you don't even want to remember the memory. And there are people that don't remember some of the things that happened that were the most traumatic of their lives. But in those dark places, that's where the enemy has its power. That's where they push your button. That's where they still can gain access. So all of this needs to come into the light. And the Lord is going to lead his people gently, but we need to have the courage to do the heart search and take those, when God brings this stuff up to you, take it to the cross. Prayerfully nail it to the cross and receive the covering of the blood. The Lord paid for this. He paid to heal you. The stripes in his back, he wants to take those wounds from your soul, put them on his back so that you could be healed, so that you could become whole, so that then you can become holy. You know, and this is something God's going to do in you. And, you know, maybe you need, you know, one close friend that you trust, that you know you can trust. And the scripture says, confess your sins one to another. You know, there's none of this group confession nonsense. You know, the Gentile church has so many mistakes. I couldn't even count them if I tried. But, you know, this whole idea of, you know, you don't confess your sin to the Bible study. You know, confess your sin to the ladies' tea group. You find someone you trust that you know loves you. And, you know, we get brutally honest. And, you know, and sometimes it's not even your sin. It was a sin that was done to you that caused these deep wounds, and the enemy has ground there. So God wants to redeem us. He's standing to judge the people. He's going to judge the wicked with eternal destruction. He's going to judge his remnant people with a judgment that leads them to righteousness. Hallelujah. And it will come to pass within the nation that they'll be burning instead of beauty. The men of war will fall by the sword. The mighty men will all die in the war. The gates of the cities and of the nations will lament and mourn. And our country will be desolate and be brought to the ground. And yet, in that same time, God's going to choose his remnant people. He's going to glorify the meek of the earth who've entrusted their whole heart and their whole life unto him. Hallelujah. And
Amen.
this is from Haggai 2:20. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak unto Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. And Zerubbabel, that name means the one who came out of Babylon. He's a type and a shadow of the remnant. We're going to flee the cities of the beast. We're going to flee America, Babylon, following the destruction. This is the remnant, and also the leadership of the remnant. He says, speak unto those who come out of Babylon and say unto them, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. That's Satan's throne, you guys. God's casting Satan down. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. The strength of their kingdoms is the satanic power that is behind them. And I'll overthrow their chariots and those that ride in them, and their horses and riders will come down, every one by the sword of his brother. And in that day I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, I'll make you as a signet ring, for I have chosen you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent. Of all of those that have escaped of Israel, this is the remnant. Those that have escaped, they'll be beautiful. And that word literally means prominence. It means a state of being important. The remnant are important, you guys. I mean, God actually went to all of this trouble so he could have this remnant that would overcome in this realm. Now, look, the dead in Christ are going to be raised with a glorified body, and they're going to be as the Lord is. They will be transformed, and they'll be perfectly holy in the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the righteous. But the remnant in this time, they're going to be redeemed in this age, such that they are fully redeemed by the time the trumpet sounds in the heavens. And that's why they don't need to die. They could be translated into the clouds and meet the Lord in the clouds, having already been redeemed and purified. And so they are important to God. The word literally for beautiful in this verse, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful. It literally means conspicuous. You're not going to have any problem finding these people because they're going to be glowing. They're going to have a Shekinah glow over their heads during the tribulation. They're going to be easily seen, widely known. They're going to be as conspicuous as Joseph in Egypt. And there was no problem recognizing Joseph because before he came down the road, an army preceded him and they shouted to the people, everyone come out of your homes, come out of your businesses and bow your face to the earth for Zaphnath-Paaneah is riding down the roads of Egypt. Joseph's a picture of that remnant who will be lifted up literally to the throne of God. And the word for glorious, the branch, the remnant of the Lord shall be glorious in that time. It's kabod, and it literally means heavy, weighty in a good sense. This is going to be powerful. This is going to be heavy duty. The power of God is coming down upon this remnant, but yet he's going to be holding them gently. But the very power of God is going to cover them. And the word literally means splendor, conspicuous, glorious, honorable. God is going to honor his remnant. He's going to put his glory on his remnant. And the scripture says that the people will say of them, those are the holy people. Those are the people that belong to the Lord. And the door is still open to join. If you want to pay the price, it will only cost you everything. You have to put everything in the offering plate. You have to put your entire life on the brazen altar. You have to not only be willing to lose your life, you have to pray to the Lord to take your life that you might receive his in exchange. And the Lord says, behold, the days come that I will raise up unto my people and unto David a righteous branch. And a king will reign and prosper. Well, we know who the king is. He shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And it's going to be intense. The justice coming to the nations is devastation. The judgment that's coming is by fire. But in the same day, Judah will be saved, and true Israel will dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And as we surrender all to the Lord, as we repent of really the very essence of self-will, we lay our lives down as a living offering. The Lord becomes our righteousness. We become his chosen vessels, and he covers us with his robes of righteousness. Hallelujah. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I'll perform the good thing that I promised. Hallelujah. That's what's coming to the remnant. God's going to perform his good promises, which he promised both Israel and Judah. And in those days, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow. And they will execute my judgment and my righteousness in the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I want to go back and just share a little bit about the 70th Jubilee. Some of you guys have been listening, you know what I'm talking about. Others, if you're new or you don't understand, I'm not sure what message you need to go hear, but it's one of the recent ones for sure. But Frank, and I don't, maybe I've already mentioned this on air. If I have, please forgive me. But a friend of mine, their daughter had a dream years ago that I had forgotten completely, and they had forgotten completely. And when they heard the message on the 70th Jubilee, they remembered the dream. And in the dream, the daughter was working in essentially setting up a wedding. Only it wasn't a normal wedding. This was an official wedding of state. This was like a king was getting married. And so, huge crowds. And the wedding itself was going to take place lifted up on a high podium. And there was a big tent. And this person heard voices talking and thought, well, I should go see who's in this tent. Walked in, and there were two men standing there or sitting there talking to each other. And the person apologized and said, I'm sorry for interrupting you. And the one man said, no, that's fine. Come in. I'm Gabriel, and I have a message for you. And here's the message. The year is 50. Be prepared, for now the time is short. And that expression for the time is short indicates that there's li literally a limited amount of time for you to complete the task that is now at hand. You've been given a brief opportunity of time to do what must be done. There's not a lot of time left to finish the work. It is essential that you rapidly move forward in pursuing the things of God, because the time remaining is short. And that reference, the year is 50, this was years ago, this dream happened. I would have had no idea what does that mean? But now that we know we're entering into the 70th Jubilee, well, the 50th year is the Jubilee. The year is 50 when all things come to pass. This is the year of the visitation. If you haven't heard the visit message, I'd suggest you go listen to it. And Frank, what message is the 70th Jubilee? Do you recall? I can't remember.
It's over several messages, but there's one that ties all of it together. Folks, I'll go back and try to look and link to it in the show. I just don't remember. There was one we did that kind of, if I remember right, you went into everything on the 70 years of, I need to look to get the right one.
Hallelujah. Well, good. Excellent. Well, and then I want to just leave you guys with a couple of verses from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort for you, my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Speak comfortable words to the remnant of God, and cry unto the people, your warfare is accomplished. See, the Jubilee was the year of peace. The Jubilee occurred after the war to liberate Canaan was over. The Jubilee of Israel was 1949, after the War of Independence has ended. And so the Jubilee will mark the end of warfare in our lives. That's why the enemy's been going crazy. They know they're about to lose any access to attack us. Our warfare will be accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. For you've received from the Lord double for your sins, and now you will be comforted of your God. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be exalted. Everyone who humbles themselves will be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall now be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed on the faces of his anointed remnant. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said to me, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. For now the grass will wither, and the flower will fade. because the fire of God's Spirit blows upon it. Surely this people is grass, and the grass will wither, and the flowers will now fade. But the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into a high mountain. O Jerusalem that beareth good things, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. And say unto the cities of Judah, say unto the remnant of Israel, behold your God, behold the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. And he will feed his flock like a shepherd, gathering his lambs in his arms, and he will gently lead those that are with young. So praise God, what an amazing time we're about to step into, brothers and sisters. Be in prayer. You guys, people are not praying enough. I don't know if that's you. If it is, receive the correction. Step up your prayer life. We are at literally the pinnacle of the warfare now. So get serious. Try fasting at least one day a week. Add fasting to your prayers. You know, increase your prayer time. If you're not praying diligently, you know, more than one time a day, what are you doing? What is so important that you would forsake seeking the face of your God in an hour such as this? Everything in Babylon's going to burn. The people are laboring for fire. It's, you know, till the ground, you know, continue to do your work and do your ministry, but understand the ground underneath your feet is going to burn soon. You know, and bear the burden of those fruitless trees, but also separate yourself from the ones that you can. God bless you all. This is Benjamin saying thank you so much for listening.
Benjamin, quick question though, before you leave on this, are we still want to try to do something for the, just to let everybody know now, on the, I guess it'd be Monday, right? The 8th for the, with the eclipse evening.
Yeah. That's like New Year's Day. Yeah. Let's definitely do a New Year's program. Mm-hmm. God willing. Yes. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. So you heard that. So listen for a program coming on the, I guess it's Monday evening. We'll do a broadcast, and because there's a lot of stuff culminating all at once, and I've met a lot of people, and folks, I am definitely a believer in biblical astronomy, not astrology. That's the devil's counterfeit, but biblical astronomy. And Brother Benjamin is one of the best at it that I've known that understands a lot of this stuff. He's not the originator, folks. This actually goes all the way back, first written about by the historian Josephus, that back in the ancient times, Seth, they knew the knowledge of the stars, and they had written them all the way back in their day. And based on a prophecy from Adam that the earth would be destroyed twice, that he had written it down on stone and on clay. And that Josephus said that that tablet or stone, whatever, stood to his day in the land of Syriac as if he had almost seen it. What I'm trying to say is that God has declared the whole story in the heavens. And the very first, earliest back in Genesis, when he talked about creating the stars and the moon and the sun, all that, the first thing he said they were for, if I remember correctly, he said they were for signs before anything else. And folks, the Lord, I believe, is trying to get our attention. So, brother, I'm looking forward to this broadcast coming on Monday evening, and we'll see you there.
Amen.
So with that, this is Brother Frank and Brother Benjamin on the Remnant Call saying to everybody, good night and shalom.
Trumpet in Zion.